Let us bow together in prayer. Father, we praise you for the great God you are. Holy and awesome is your name. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and not left us in the dark. But we are sinners, Lord, we admit. And we not only sin, but we also still need better understanding of your word. So forgive us our sins, we pray, and help us by your Spirit as the word is read and preached, as it is heard, and as we meditate upon it. Lord, we pray you'll make it clear to us. We pray you will show us Christ in his power and glory. Mold us, Lord, into what you want us to be by your word and Spirit. For we are the clay, and you are the potter. Amen. My text this evening is Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62. Let us give our attention to God's word, beginning at Luke 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And thus we end the reading of God's word. One weekend, and it may have been in January, when I was preaching here, my wife and I were here, and on Sunday evening we got in our car and started home to Raleigh. And just a little bit down the road, there was a wreck. And some of you or all of you know about that on 264 East. And I don't think anybody was hurt badly in that wreck. But it just goes to show that when you set out to go somewhere, you don't know what's going to happen. When you set out to do any job, you don't know what's going to happen. And Jesus set out on his trip here, his final trip to Jerusalem, and he would face many incidents, many obstacles, many different situations, three of which are in this text here. Life is the same for us in many ways. Of course, we're not perfect by any means, but we run into problems also as we go about. A young person who makes transition from high school to college has no doubt studied as to where he or she wants to go to school, and yet when that time comes, he or she will not really have anticipated everything that happens. It's impossible to do that. Same as you, as when you take on a new job. Maybe you've searched out this job and you've applied for it, you've wanted it, you have been interviewed for it, you've asked all the questions you could think of. But the first day at work, when you're there, you begin to sense the atmosphere, how the coworkers are, how the bosses treat you, how difficult or easy it is. And you begin to adapt to a new situation. Jesus met three different people here and three different exchanges took place. The first two incidents in the passage were also recorded in Matthew. Luke alone records the third one. Here, in my text this evening, I want us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ calls his followers, that's us, calls us to come after him with everything we have. He calls us to give everything to him and not follow him part-time or half-heartedly. Of course, we all fail in this, but that's the calling, and that's what we strive to do. The church is his bride, and he calls her to be faithful. So these three men represent three would-be followers of Jesus who don't make it, at least not at this point. They don't make it. Three different people who have difficulty in following the Lord. And I have three divisions for this text. Well, surprise, right? First of all, we have a would-be follower who is too eager. Secondly, there's a would-be follower who is not ready. Thirdly, there's a would-be follower who has a divided heart. So the key verses are 57, where the man says, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And then the Lord says to him in 58, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then the next key verse is verse 59. "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus has a response for that. And the next key verse is verse 61. "Let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And so we see the difficulty of following Jesus this evening. First of all, the one who is too eager and too ready to follow the Lord. This man was a scribe, according to the parallel passage in Matthew 8:19. Luke doesn't tell us that, but Matthew does. We would not expect a scribe to be interested, but this scribe shows some interest in following the Lord Jesus. The man volunteered in verse 57, "I will follow you." What attracted him to follow the Lord Jesus? We don't know, of course. Maybe he was excited by the miracles he saw, or maybe he wanted to get something from Jesus. Jesus' response to him was, basically, "I have nothing." So maybe he wanted to get something from Jesus. We're not sure, but he did volunteer, "I will follow you," whatever his motives were. And in fact, he said, "I will follow you wherever you go." So his words would indicate that he's thought about this to some extent, but apparently not much. For the conversation goes on. He makes a big promise. "I will follow you wherever you go." There's an old saying that goes like this: easier said than done. And that's a good motto for preachers. Easier said than done. Actually, it's not easy to get up here in front of people and talk, but it's easier to say it than it is to do it. And that's what this man was, well, hopefully he was going to learn. The Lord Jesus was trying to teach him. Do you remember your membership vows? You took membership vows, if you remember, of this congregation. I took membership vows. I took ordination vows. They're very serious things. We make promises. But of course, we always promise according to how the Lord enables us to keep them. And we know that. We know that in and of ourselves, we could never, ever keep those promises. But we depend on the Spirit of God and His strength to help us. When I had first committed to the ministry, I was a sophomore in college, and I went to talk to an older minister for his advice and support and help. And I remember I have in my mind's eye a picture of my being there and sitting across from his desk. He proceeded to tell me how hard it was going to be. And I went into his office and I was so excited. And the more he talked, the less excited I got. He proceeded to tell me it was utterly difficult to be a minister of the gospel, and I would face all kinds of trials and obstacles, and I just could not believe it. I could not take his word for it. Didn't he know my excitement? And a lot of young people my age at that time were more mature than I was, and I'm not saying all young people are like this, but I was. But his words came to roost very soon in my life. He was trying to do me a favor. Maybe he was a little too negative. That's the way I remember it, but my memory's not perfect either. So there we go. It's going to be difficult, he said. We take vows before the Lord, and we are told in God's word that we should take our vows seriously, that when we come into the house of God, we should watch our words. We should not be rash with our words. But we make promises like this man did. I will follow you wherever you go. So we need to consider things. And it's not possible to know everything that's going to happen in the next step of our lives. In fact, some things come so unexpectedly that we knew nothing about it and anticipated nothing about it. But nevertheless, we need to consider the next step and the next step and the next step in our lives and in following the Lord Jesus Christ. The scribe was too eager. He was too ready. And so Jesus replied to him in verse 58, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Even the creatures of God, the birds and the foxes, have places to live. But the Lord Jesus traveled from place to place doing his ministry, suffering, working, teaching, doing miracles for the sake of his people. Jesus was saying, if you want to follow me, look at the life I'm living. Take that into consideration. And this man had not. The Lord Jesus knows something about riches. He knows something about wealth. He is God the Son. He left his riches in glory to come to earth and live among sinners and not have a home. His home was in heaven. Jesus was rich in glorious splendor, and he left it all and lived on this earth and died and arose from the dead to save us from an eternity in spiritual poverty and punishment. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, and if we are called to follow him, we are called to repent of our sins and trust in him. We will have trials too. We will have some suffering too, but he will make us rich spiritually, and already has. So the first point is, don't be too eager. Try to understand how difficult life is meant to be. And then when the difficulties come, you won't panic. Secondly, there is the one who was not ready to follow Jesus. He wasn't ready. Jesus said to this man in verse 59, "Follow me." Here, Jesus takes the initiative. He speaks first. He encourages the man to follow him. But the man replies in verse 59, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." That was a matter of great importance to the Jewish people. And yet, Jesus replied to him, and don't you notice how the replies of Jesus to these people almost always surprise us? What an answer! Let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus said that? That seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? When we're just looking at those words, we know he does all things well. We know he does nothing wrong. But wow, to look at that on the surface. Let the dead bury their own dead. Let the spiritually dead bury their own physically dead. This, my friend, is an excuse. This is an excuse to use to not follow me. And so Jesus says, you go and preach the kingdom of God. Not only was he to be a follower of Jesus, he was to be a preacher of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you're going to have to change your thinking if you're going to follow me and preach me. The man was hesitant. He was not ready to follow Jesus. And this is a case similar to that of the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus. And to him, the Lord Jesus said, well, if you really want to follow me, here's what you have to do. It's a simple formula. Sell everything you have and come and follow me. Now, everyone doesn't have to sell all that they have to follow Jesus. But in that case, that's just what he needed to hear. His possessions were more important to him than following the Lord Jesus. And the man here in Luke 9 is using an excuse as well. There's nothing wrong with attending the funeral service of our parents. Of course, we should do that. But in this case, in this particular case, the man was not committed to following the Lord Jesus. He wanted to put off following Jesus. So, how hesitant are we? Are you, am I, to follow the Lord in certain circumstances? We just can't get ourselves to do it. We know we need to change this bad habit, maybe even a sinful one. And we've been praying about it half-heartedly. Like Augustine, who prayed something like, Lord, change me and take me away from this sin, but not yet. That's a rough paraphrase, but you get the idea. I'm reminded of Moses. It's kind of humorous, this story, but it's serious at the same time. So the Lord calls Moses and says, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from slavery in Egypt. And Moses is like, no, Lord, no, please, no. So he has all these excuses. In verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3, Exodus 3:11, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Me? Oh, not me. Not really that good. The Lord says, I will be with you. Well, Moses isn't done. In Exodus 3:13, what if they ask me, what is your name? My name is Yahweh. I am who I am. Still not done. In Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses says, what if they won't listen or say the Lord has not appeared to me? The Lord proceeded to give Moses some miracles that he could perform to show that the Lord had spoken to him. Still not done. Exodus 4:10. Lord, I am not eloquent, but slow of speech and slow of tongue. And God responds in Exodus 4:11 and 12 with this astounding answer. You are slow of speech, slow of tongue. You're not eloquent. The Lord says to him, who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth, Moses? Who can do with your mouth what he is pleased to do? Well, he went on to say in Exodus 4:12, "Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." You know, at that point I'm thinking, wow. You mean he still had an excuse? Well, yes, he did. Exodus 4:13. "Lord, please send someone else." Now he's begging. "Lord, please send someone else." Finally, the Lord's anger was aroused. But still the Lord was patient, and he replied in Exodus 4:15. "Now you shall speak to Aaron and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." Isn't that amazing patience? That is called long suffering by the Lord. Same way he is with us. The same way when we hesitate to obey him and to truly repent of that sin and to truly take measures to break that habit and to start being obedient to our God. Human weakness, lingering sin, imperfection, maybe some laziness all contribute to our hesitation. But we can pray for the Lord's help. We can pray for the Spirit's power to be unleashed instead of making excuses. And I want to give you one more example of hesitation. We were spending the weekend with the Slagers. Couldn't remember their name. With the Slagers a couple of weeks ago. And we were having devotions, and Sue read Exodus 3. And Exodus 3 is where, you know, the plagues are going on, and here comes the plague of the frogs. All right, I finally got that right. Plague of the frogs. Okay, so here the frogs are in the Egyptians' houses, in Pharaoh's palace. So Moses said, "I can ask the Lord to take those away." And what would you think Pharaoh would respond? You probably know. What would you say if we had a plague of frogs? So the frogs come in, and there are frogs in your oven and on your stove. And the husband says, "Wife, go make me some dinner." And she says, "Would you like frog legs?" "That's all we got. There's not even enough room to fix them, so forget that." "Well, let's go to bed." "Can't go to bed. There are frogs in our bed." "Let's go for a drive." "We can't get there. There's so many frogs hopping around. They're even in our car." So someone says, I can have these taken away. When would you like for me to take them away?" And you say, "Tomorrow." Really? That's what Pharaoh said. Tomorrow. What is he thinking? Maybe, just maybe, they'll go away themselves and I won't be obligated and Moses won't have that pressure on me. Maybe he's thinking, my magicians, maybe they'll get me out of this. Tomorrow. Tomorrow you will get rid of that obstacle in your path. Tomorrow you will obey the Lord in this area in which you're not obeying him. Tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of sanctification. It's the day of obedience. Today. But there was hesitation. He hesitated. Thirdly, there is the one with the divided heart. The divided heart. Verse 61. "And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." First let me say goodbye to those at my house. Again, this doesn't seem to be a bad request, does it? Looking on it at the surface, someone wants to bid goodbye to their family. But of course, there are circumstances here that are different and make a difference. He delays. He is uncertain as to whether he wants to follow Jesus or not. And we certainly should take care of our family. And we certainly should love them with all our hearts. Yes, indeed. But in this case, in this particular case, this man was making an excuse. Jesus said to him in verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, there was a similar situation in the Old Testament. Elisha was going to follow Elijah, and he first went back and said farewell to his father and mother. He even made a meal for them and ate with them. But then he immediately went with Elijah and followed him. That was not an excuse. His intentions were true and good. But here in Luke, this man's heart was divided. Jesus is saying to us, don't look back at your former life and think it was better than your life with me. The Israelites did that, and they said, oh, wow, we love that food that the Egyptians made, that we learned to make. And here we are in this wilderness eating this manna from heaven. Oh, how bad is this? And he said to this man, you're not ready. You're letting family stand in the way. And though we're supposed to take care of our family, yes, we are. We can't let family stand in the way of following Jesus. Hopefully we can have both. Hopefully. But if there's a question, we know the choice to make. I was kind of startled. I've been reading the Bible for years, you know. And some years back I was reading through, and I came across 2 Chronicles 15:16. Quite obscure, we would think. But here's King Asa of Judah. And King Asa is a good king, and King Asa leads a reformation in Judah. And King Asa is so dedicated to the Lord in this reformation that here's what happened. 2 Chronicles 15:16. Also he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, from being queen mother, because she made an obscene image, that is, an idolatrous image. He crushed it and burned it by the brook Kidron. 2 Chronicles 15:16. He removed his mother from being queen mother. He had her idol images burned because he was zealous for the Lord. And he was not turning back. And even his mother would not stand in the way. Earlier in this Gospel of Luke, the mother of Jesus and his brothers come to him when he's teaching, and there are a lot of people around him. So a messenger comes and tells Jesus that your family's waiting for you. And Jesus replied to that messenger. Jesus said, here's my family, those who hear the word of God and do it. We not only have biological relations, we have a relationship with the other people of God. We are in a spiritual family. We are children of our Heavenly Father. and our relationship to Him comes first. One more look at Moses. Hebrews 11:26 says, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Hebrews 11:26. That's an Old Testament character having a relationship with Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. Moses was raised in the palace. Moses had connections. He gave that up to follow the Lord. Here before Jesus is a man with a divided heart, not totally committed to the Lord. Are you, am I, holding something back from the Lord? What is it? The psalmist prayed in Psalm 86:11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Psalm 86:11. Unite my heart to fear your name. Our hearts are scattered all over the place, seeking many things. We need for the Lord to focus our hearts. We cannot give God part of our lives. He must have it all. And so Proverbs 23 verse 26 says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Proverbs 23:26. So the wise man is telling his son, "Give me your heart, observe my ways." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying the same thing to these followers. Give me your heart, observe my ways. Not just literally observe my ways. It's impossible for us to imitate Christ in that sense, of course. If we don't give Him our hearts, we can't observe His ways. When He takes control of our hearts, He changes them. He puts the Holy Spirit there. And then we can follow Him. "Give me your heart," He says. Don't have a divided heart. Yes, indeed, it's difficult to follow Jesus, and we should know that. We should know that along the way. Those of us who have followed Him for years and years and decades should know that by now, but we don't know it as we should. Sometimes we could almost plead temporary insanity because we should know better, but we don't act like we know better. He told us. Full disclosure. No fine print. Nothing to hide. Jesus said, "Give me your heart. Give me your all." So don't be too eager, not understanding. Don't be hesitant and uncertain. Don't have a divided heart. Don't be distracted. Come to Jesus and keep coming to Him. Repent of your sins and keep repenting of your sins. Come wholeheartedly, for whosoever comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Amen. Let us pray. Father, grant us the ability to consider carefully what it means to follow Jesus so that we don't become too eager. And grant that we might not be hesitant to do your will, but by the Spirit give us zeal and strength to quickly obey. Lord, once we have started on this journey of following Jesus, by your grace, give us steadfastness of will. Lord, that we might not be those who fall away and prove never to have been your children. Hear us, Father, and give us grace. We pray in Christ's name.